Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Burt Show.
Mo, how many dates would you have to go out with a girl, and if you didn't get a kiss, you'd be like, okay, I'm in the friend zone. It's not going to happen here for me.
Two or three. Yep.
I'm with you. You know, at most 3 weeks, right?
I would say.
All right, Kristen, you want to take it next level?
4 years.
Huh?
4 years.
Nope. And they've never kissed?
They've never kissed, and they just got engaged. Listen, to each their own. Who are we to judge?
I am. I'm here to judge.
Personally, I signed up for this job to judge. Right? That kind of makes it fun about it, right? All right. So there, I don't know why it got into my algorithm, but it did. And Caitlin won all. Says, disclaimer, you don't have to kiss to get a ring. And there's a video of her fiance getting down on bended knee, putting the ring on her finger. She's jumping up and down. She puts her arms around him. He twirls her around. No kiss. And the caption says, we've been together for almost 4 years and still have never kissed. I couldn't be more grateful to have this incredible man of God in my life that will soon be my husband. Okay, all I'm saying is don't go to the comments.
Now, anywhere in the Bible, it doesn't say you're not allowed to kiss a dude, right? It just says you're not allowed to do the, before your wedding day.
That's actually exactly what it says.
Yeah. Song of Solomon. One. That's the sex chapter. Anyway.
It's not a sin to kiss somebody though, right?
No. So I'm pretty sure I saw that video on my timeline. And as somebody who comes from a Christian background, this is not the first couple that I know that's done this. And it's not like people think it's a sin to kiss, but they're like, okay, if we start... licking the icing, I might eat the whole cake, if that makes sense.
Right. And lust.
That snowball will just... That snowball effect, okay. Yeah.
And lust is a no-no. So if you start kissing, then now we're talking about lust, right?
Because that's one of the seven deadly sins, right?
Yes.
Isn't it?
I believe so.
All right, let's see if we can name the seven deadly sins.
Oh, I don't know. Murder. I'm pretty sure I'm dead five times.
No. Lust, greed. Envy, greed. How is murder not on that list? I mean, murder's, like, there's seven deadly sins, but it's more like emotions than it is, like, an action.
Listening to Nickelback.
No, that's the Constitution. I don't know, there's...
Wrath. Would be murder.
That would be murder. Sloth.
Didn't we say gluttony?
We did not say gluttony.
You didn't say that one.
Yeah.
Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy.
Having a joint couples account on Instagram.
Facts need to be
Abby, I want to hear your version of the seven deadly sins.
There's one more that everybody's missing.
What we got?
You say envy?
Pride.
Pride.
I know that's the worst of
there's
them all.
A whole parade that's a sin. Right. And I will be there gladly.
All right, manifestation should be able to work both ways. Jackson might be onto something here.
I think for me, manifestation in this whole law of attraction to me has been something that I've thought about and more or less believed in throughout my entire life. I think growing up, I never really put the thoughts into like actual words, but I always sort of believed, you know, in the saying, I think therefore I am, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until later on in life when I started, you know, actually seeing stuff about this whole manifestation thing, law of attraction, that I started reading books about it and realizing that, hey, there might be something going on here, right? And as much as I've believed in that side, there's an entire another side to this whole thing that I also kind of feel like is very true, especially for me. And I'm curious to know if you guys also feel the same. So what I'm talking about is when you want something so badly in your head, you're looking forward to something, it can be anything, mm-hmm. and if you think about it too much, if you tell too many people, if you talk about it too much, then that either causes it to not happen, or it causes delays along the way, or speed bumps along the way before it actually comes true. So what I mean by this is, as a kid, this is a perfect example of the very few times that my parents would let me order something from one of those TV infomercials. You know, I'd be so excited to get them, and through my excitement, without fail, every time it gets delayed, it comes broken, it gets delivered to the wrong place, something like that, right? And then in growing up, it's happened for a lot of other things. The example of the story that I told you guys where I hit the caddy with the golf ball, that round of golf is something that I had hyped up so much in my head and was looking forward to. I was talking about it to everyone. I was telling everybody about it. And then, of course, the problem occurs when I'm there, that it doesn't pan out to be quite the thing that I wanted to do, to, quite the way I wanted it to happen.
Yeah, didn't you kill a caddy?
I did not kill a caddy. I maybe injured a 7-year-old caddy.
Have you checked in on him? Do we know he's doing okay?
I have not.
That he wasn't concussed and something happened later?
It hit him in the chest.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm curious, like, have you guys noticed that this happens in your lives as well, where you think so highly of something, some future event, some future thing to happen, and you almost speak it out of existence because of your excitement about it?
Oh, sure. Chargers in the Super Bowl, Padres in a World Series.
No. Shocker, you went straight to sports.
Right.
No, for sure. Same. And we've joked about it on the show, so.
Yeah. Do you find yourself also, like, trying to not think about it a lot, or trying to keep it really close to the chest so that you're not talking about it too much?
Yeah.
And I typically try to downplay things that I know are major events in my life. Like, I don't tell people. I think that's a good one, because everybody's not praying for you. You got to know that. But I also, in my head, if I know it's a really big event, I'll convince myself that it's not. So that when I'm there, it kind of just naturally plays out, as opposed to me being in my head about
it.
Yeah. It's a sad thing that happens in adulthood, because then you don't allow yourself to be excited for things, because I think historically, like, 9 times out of 10, when you do get excited for something and you do have expectations for it, that's when the universe decides to just take a bat to it.
Right. And so that leads me into this whole thing where I have this pretty major, significant milestone life event that's going to be coming up in the next year. And I've wanted to talk about it so badly on air. I've wanted to tell, you know, everybody in my family and friends, everything like that. But I'm too worried that I've already told a few people about it. And honestly, if you did a little bit of thought into my life, you could probably know.
Is this the thing that we were talking about?
Yes.
Oh, so, your OnlyFans?
Now you spoiled it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I'm struggling so hard to keep it so close to my chest. But this is such a big deal to me that, one, I already feel like I've told too many people as is. And two, like, it's hard for me to feel like I'm being, like, stifled to not say too much and be too excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a huge problem, actually, because it's hard for me to keep my mouth closed.
Yeah, I always err on telling too many people.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, always.
How's that worked out?
This I'm doing okay.
So far, so good.
Okay.
Golden retriever puppy over here.
All right. So excited.
That's me too, though. I get so excited, and I want to tell so many people about it, and I want to share this, and also I want to hear advice. I want to hear people's takes on it, that, like, it makes me want to say this to just everybody, but then
this is just a terrible tease. This is a terrible tease.
It really is.
You're not going to do it, are you?
What?
Are you going to talk about it? Are you going to say it?
Well, no. I was hoping that you guys would be like, no, keep it close to the chest. Don't say anything about it.
No, I want
to
know everything.
All I'm saying is, knowing how this show works, the minute you say it and it gets posted, you're going to have an onslaught of opinions.
Right.
So if you are ready to, like, disregard those opinions, because I do believe you need to have the mindset when you put stuff, why would you take criticism from somebody that you wouldn't take advice from? That is so, so key.
Mm-hmm.
So just know, you put your thought baby out there, and people are going to have a lot of thoughts about your thought baby. So do you want your baby to be criticized?
I see. Okay, so I need to actually fully internalize and kind of, understand the magnitude of this before I come out and actually start sharing.
Or don't share it at all.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't get to share anything to anybody, man. No.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
The term ick is a fairly new trend. So for those that don't know what ick is, Abby, what is it?
Ick is so much more than a turnoff. It's a seemingly obscure thing that somebody does that kind of turns you off from them, but in more of like a cringe way. Like, it's not necessarily something they're doing on purpose. It's just something that kind of makes you go, ugh. Like, if I'm out with a guy and his shoes keep coming untied, ugh, ick. Not necessarily a turn off, but I'm kind of like, how are you as a grown man not tying your shoes?
I saw one woman said, any guy running with a backpack, the way it bounces up and down. Maybe that was from Nobody Wants This.
From Nobody Wants This, running with backpacks, needing Velcro shoes.
So is the ultimate ick the one where, I mean, it seems kind of superficial, but you look at it and you're like, I can't look at him the same way anymore. This relationship's kind of over.
Yeah, it seems superficial, but it really just kind of makes you look at that person in a different light.
Okay, I'm starting to realize that it can happen in any relationship. It can happen in a friendship. It can happen while you're dating. One woman on Instagram, Abby sent this, says that it can't, legally, it can't happen when you're married.
Yeah, it's going to have some...
Being married is so crazy.
It's going to have some legal ramifications if you decide to get married and you get the ick.
Being married is so crazy because you can't get the ick legally. Legally, if I got the ick right now, it wouldn't matter because it's nothing that they can do. It's like you sign this contract to say that you will never, ever, ever get the ick again. And that's kind of insane to me because there's things we haven't experienced together. For instance, we never been to Six Flags together. What if we get on the roller coaster and he starts screaming and I get the ick? But what if also he doesn't scream and I get the ick? Because, like, what, you think you're too cool to scream? Like, that would also give me the ick. What if we're on an African safari adventure and a giraffe starts chasing him and he run? Like, not you running. What if we decide to run a marathon together and he trip over his shoelaces and he falls on his face? Like, why would you do that? You don't know how to tie your shoe? What if we go to the moon or space or something like that because we advance as a society and there's no gravity and I have to watch him in zero gravity? Like, that is just so icky to me. Like, heebie-jeebies.
So is that from? That's from Sierra Likes Eggs on TikTok. When she said zero gravity, that sent me into orbit. I was cackling.
Because why would you do that?
So I have two of these when it comes to friendship, right? And I told you about one years ago where a friend that I had had his dog pass away, right? Remember me telling you about this?
Uh-huh.
He was so attached to his dog. And I don't think I'd ever met his dog when it passed away, but he was a friend of mine. So, you know, I was there to comfort him. I know what that's like. It's very sad. Then he requested that all of his best friends go to his home and bury the dog in his backyard. And we were all supposed to go around the gravesite and say something nice about the dog before we all buried it. But before that, we had dinner and he drove his truck at Ruth Chris's downstairs with the dead dog in the back of the truck while we were all eating upstairs. And then we went to his backyard and buried the dog. We were all supposed to say something nice. Okay.
Probably should have done that in reverse order. Also asking the funeral guest for your dog to say something nice about the
That's
dog.
Wild.
Yeah. When you hadn't met it.
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's even worse.
Right.
Oh, man.
Okay. That was
do
one.
Do you remember what you said?
I think because I know he was mourning, I think I did it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, all right. But I do think that I couldn't mask the ick of the dog being downstairs while we were having steak upstairs.
I would like to have heard what everybody said.
Right.
I know that was interesting.
I think we all showed up, though. Okay. We all showed up for the dude, but I'm not sure he's friends with any of them now.
The fact that you weren't a good radio soldier and hit record on your phone in your pocket to record this makes me really mad at you.
I'm sorry. This is your ick. As a radio partner, this is your ick to me. The second one has to do with dogs also, and it's recent. So I know a woman, she's a friend of mine, and I've known her for a very long time. And she was in a relationship with a dude for a year and a half, so much so, and they knew that they were going to spend the rest of their lives together, that they adopted a dog together, right? So make a long story short, they break up. His job takes him on the road all the time, so he couldn't take the dog. So she had to take full ownership of the dog and said that she couldn't keep it because every time she looked at the dog, it got her sad because she was thinking of the past relationship and the dude. So she gave the dog away.
No. What? That's so stupid. Like, that's like looking at your kids and being like, this reminds me of my past marriage. Gotta get rid of the kid.
Yeah, that's why I didn't talk to Hayden for a while. but that was it, man. It's a game changer in the relationship. Have you done this with friends before?
Well, for me, I mean, to me, I think an ick is a little bit more superficial, like the dog thing. Like, one of my really, really close friends, when she ever has, like, a thing going on with a guy, she will get obsessed with taking selfies. And it's not just like, okay, we're going to go out and it's like, okay, we need to take, like, 10 or 15 selfies. It'll be like, we're in a new location and there's new lighting. Okay, so now there's one selfie. Okay, Abby, get in it. And then I get in it and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm done. Did my thing. I was in the photo to look like she had friends. And then she's like, no, one more. But in this lighting. And then we have to turn from this angle. And then she'll take like 15 more photos. And before you know it, we have an entire photo album of just photos of her at different angles, in different lightings, in different settings, until she decides to choose one to send to this guy who doesn't care if she lives or dies.
That's a perfect example.
Yep. So I had a few. I didn't know how serious we were going to be. The two superficial ones for me, one was finding out the other day that my dude washes his hands by just sprinkling his fingers under the water.
Yes.
It was very much an ick for me.
Using no soap at all. No. Doing the sprinkle.
Just doing the sprinkle.
While holding his drink. He multitasked the whole entire thing.
Yeah, he did.
He'd hold it. Like, that's another thing, too. Holding your open container drink in a bathroom.
Yes.
Flushing it with all the germies flying around the bathroom.
It's disgusting.
Right?
Yes.
It's like, there's multiple icks in that
one. I'm telling you, I thought of cutting them off. I did. It was a violation. The other superficial one I had was in vain to selfie taking when I'm at a restaurant and my friend won't let me eat because they want to take pictures of all the food. And I got to sit there and wait for them to finish while the food's getting cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more serious one I had was whenever my friends don't respect their other friendships. That has always bothered
me.
I do not like that.
I had a friend make a comment to me about one of my close friends' weight. They were like, oh my God, I saw that X, Y, and Z gained so much weight. I was like, why did you feel comfortable telling me that?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
And now I feel like you do that to me with your other friends.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely 1,000% do.
For sure. Yep. You have friendship ick?
Actually, one happened recently. So I don't know where this falls as far as, you know, serious or trivial, but I had a friend had the audacity to critique my parenting, and I wanted to be like, look in the mirror. Because you got some messed up stuff going on underneath your roof.
That relationship's over. At that point, there's no bouncing back from that.
The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, so the email here is that after she turned down the boyfriend's proposal, he just went on and proposed to her best friend. I don't think she's overreacting, but let's hear the email.
Dear Burt Show, you may call me Karis. I live in Africa, and I watch your show on Facebook.
That's so cool.
You guys are awesome, and I appreciate your work. I would like to know if I'm the a-hole in this story. Last year, I rekindled a friendship with my first boyfriend. Let's call him Martin, who at the time was living in another country, 17 hours by air from where I stay. My best friend, let's call her Judy, had gone also to the same country, so I linked them up asking him to help her in March of 2022. Initially, she calls and tells me how and what they did. All of a sudden, the calls and the messages stopped. One day, she updated her WhatsApp status, and I saw that they went on a vision expo and took some very beautiful pictures together. That piqued my curiosity. Of course she didn't tell me, but later in the evening, he did. There was something very peculiar about these pictures. They looked like a happy couple. That night, Martin called to tell me how Judy looks and acts just like me. Truth is, we can easily be mistaken for twins, although she is older than me and we do not share the same parents. The next 2 days after the picture incident, Martin called me to say that Judy visited him at his home and was in the kitchen cooking food for him and his friends. I was quite taken aback, but I said nothing. After 2 days, Judy called to explain what happened, and I asked her if she would be happy if I did the same to her. She went on to say that she wasn't the only one cooking for Martin, that ladies from his church also cook for him. I accused both of them of dating behind my back, but they denied it. Fast forward to 3 months after this incident, Martin came to my base to visit and proposed. I told him that I needed time to get to know him better. Well, he argued that I had known him for 16 years and there was nothing more to know. Needless to say, I didn't accept the offer. 2 months later, Judy called me to tell me that Martin proposed to her and she asked him to first get consent from me before she could accept.
My boy gonna marry somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody.
He's determined.
Yep.
I told her that they are both adults and they can do whatever works for them. Apparently, Martin married someone else this year. However, since then, I no longer see her as a friend. She has made efforts to reconnect, but I either ignore her calls or make excuses like I'm busy. Truth is that she was a really good friend, but I feel like she is likely to do the same. This assumption is based on the fact that when I met her back in 2013, it was apparent that she was dating a married man whose wife was pregnant. To be honest, I sometimes feel like maybe I overreacted given that the man in question is already married. I would really love to hear from you on your thoughts, on your opinions and thoughts. Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to trust her ever again. Nah. You don't need this kind of trauma, man.
No,
I wouldn't be able to trust her either. I don't think it's fair to base that on what you knew when you were already friends with her after that and got past that. But if you don't trust her based off of the fact that she kind of lied to you or at least withheld information in dating the guy you used to date, I can completely understand that.
And I'm a firm believer that I don't think you should punish a woman for something a man does or for a man's behavior. Like, it's obviously he was in the wrong for proposing to her, then turning around and then, you know, immediately proposing to her friend. But the fact that you just didn't immediately say hail to the gnaw.
Right.
You called her up and said, hey, your boyfriend just proposed to me, but before I accept, I wanted your blessing. That right there was the end of the friendship. And it is never to be remedied or rectified or whatever word you want to replace there.
There are some things, while sad enough, there are some things that you just can't get around as friends. That kind of distrust, it's over.
Yeah.
And there's no bouncing back. That goes on your permanent record.
For sure. I'll never be able to trust you again. And there's no point in having a friend that you can't trust.
Right? I don't think we're giving Judy enough credit.
Okay.
She didn't get engaged to the guy. She said no at some point. Do I think she's a little stupid? Yes. But at the very least, she didn't marry him. In this letter, it says that he married somebody else. So, I don't know.
So you're saying, go ahead. It's not that big a deal.
It's a little bit of a big deal, but it's not a big, big deal.
Not a deal-breaking big deal.
Not a deal-breaker.
All right, let's roll into Kristen's Stupid Bit of the Week.
Today we are playing Would You Rather yet again, but this time it's the mother-in-law edition. And let me tell you, I didn't have to scour the internet that hard. There was website after website after website of horror mother-in-law stories. And when I tell you my jaw dropped and one made me gasp, I am not in the least bit exaggerating.
How come in the overall scheme of things, riddle me this. I mean, with a mother-in-law comes a father-in-law a lot of times also. So why isn't it the same relationship and some same complaints about father-in-laws?
Well, a lot of these were women and stories about their mother-in-laws. And I feel like there is, on the mother-in-law's behalf, a competitiveness. Wow. And her love for her son is, it, depending on the relationship, can be so intense that it doesn't matter who her son marries. Wow. They're not going to be good enough. And it causes the horrible mother-in-law syndrome.
Got it.
There's also a thing called emotional incest, specifically for, this is an actual thing, for mothers of sons, where they don't get the support and emotional feedback they need from their husband, which is not the husband's fault. It's the relationship's fault. So then they pour everything into the son. So when the son gets married, they're losing their emotional support pillar because they don't realize it's incest, but they've emotionally poured themselves into their child instead of their spouse.
I'm so glad you're here for the smart listeners. Yeah. it's so refreshing.
Thank must, you. All
they
one
must
of them.
Be so relieved to hear a smart voice.
So what motivated me to do this list is Camila Alves, who is Matthew McConaughey's wife, recently did a podcast, Biscuits and Jam, the Southern Living podcast, and she described how her mother-in-law treated her when she first started dating Matthew McConaughey.
She would call me by all of Matthew's ex-girlfriend's names. She would start speaking Spanish with me in a very broken way, kind of putting down, babe. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's time for a Would You Rather mother-in-law audition. So I have horror mother-in-law stories, and you have to choose which mother-in-law you would rather have.
Rather have, okay.
Which mother-in-law you'd have to have one of these psycho women. So your first story.
So it's the lesser of both evils.
Exactly.
Okay.
When we got married, his mom kept pressuring us about having a kid, even though we didn't want one. We went on an extended vacation with her a couple of years after we got married. She was acting super weird the whole time and being really nice. She was making me meals and lots of smoothies. During the vacation, I lost my birth control and couldn't find it. When we were packing, I opened her drawer and I found it in her room. I found crushed prenatal vitamins, and I found herbal fertility smoothies.
Wow.
She was trying to get her knocked up.
All right, you have that one versus I gained over 100 pounds in under a year. One day while going through my cupboards, I found an empty bag of sugar. I was confused because we only use stevia in my house because of a family history of diabetes. We sat down with my mother-in-law and had a conversation. She came clean. She had switched our stevia with real sugar, put lard and sugar in my yogurt, put sugar in my workout drinks, my tea, my jam, everything. She had allowed me to consume over 3,500 calories a day unknowingly. I weighed around 215 by the time I found out. The reason why she did this, she didn't want me to look better than her when she got married for the third time. I lost most of the weight from this ordeal, but have lots of stretch marks. After this, we cut off all contact with her.
Damn. Ooh, she's
I told you, jaw dropping.
She's the worst. Evilness.
Which one would you rather have? The one that's secretly trying to get you knocked up by stealing your birth control and crushing up prenatal vitamins in your smoothies? Or the one that's putting lard and sugar in your yogurt to cause you to gain weight so she looks better at her wedding than you? My gosh.
This might be the toughest decision we have to make today.
I really, as somebody who was making the choice to not have kids, I really didn't think it could get worse than throwing out the birth control. But I'm going with birth control because at the very least, you know what's up and you can make adjustments until you get your next pack. But if you've lost, she forced you to gain 100 pounds, that's so hard.
I know.
Yeah, so. I agree. In the second story, the mother-in-law already won. The first one, you still got a chance. I'm going with the first one.
I'm with these guys, yeah.
All right. Here are your next two scenarios to choose between. Would you rather mother-in-law audition? We were at a party, and one of the neighbors had just had a baby. My mother-in-law asked me to let her take my baby daughter over to meet the other baby. It was right next door, so I trusted her. But it took such a long time for her to come back, so I went over to see what had happened. When I got there, I discovered that the neighbor had breastfed my daughter.
Ooh.
Apparently, my mother-in-law said the baby had been crying. She didn't know what else to do. I had literally been right there next door. One little detail. Right after she was born, I told my mother-in-law that I freaked out. I was freaked out by the idea of shared breastfeeding and that I'd never let my daughter breastfeed from another person unless it was a matter of life and death. I am completely positive that she did it on purpose.
Damn.
Until this day, I can't forgive her, and I'll never trust her again.
Oh, my God.
Damn, these are evil women. Evil women.
All right, so you either have to have that mother-in-law or this one. My mother-in-law drinks pretty heavily, and 2 months ago, my mother-in-law and my mom started to hang out. Mother-in-law was being inappropriate towards my mom, but she insisted she wasn't like that, so it doesn't count. Well, one night, they were hanging out, and mother-in-law started drinking a lot. My mom was drinking, too. Me and my boyfriend walked in on them kissing. I scolded my mom, and she did her part to make it up to me. She quit drinking, apologized multiple times, even agreed to never hang out with her again. I'm still a little upset at the situation.
You think?
But mother-in-law blamed my mom and never apologized.
Damn.
I told you.
Damn.
These are
coming strong.
Gnarly. All right, which one would you rather have? The one that let your child breastfeed on another woman knowing that that would upset you, or the one that makes out with your mom?
This is an easy choice for me. Like, yeah. I'd rather just find out my mom's been in the closet all these years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going number two.
Yeah.
I'm going closet also.
Never thought I'd say this, but let my mama get her action. I'm going with that one.
The Burt Show.
All right, Kristen, who really has been the villain in this classic movie?
Yes. So there are some protagonists that we thought were protagonists, but when we sit back and really look at some of the things they've done, these characters in movies, we're like, wait a minute. You were the villain the whole time.
Oh, yeah, like the devil wears Prada and the boyfriend in that?
Exactly is what I'm going for. So Stephen Colbert was recently interviewing Robin Wright. And you may remember Robin Wright played Jenny in Forrest Gump.
Jenny.
And
Princess Buttercup. The Princess Bride.
There's also that. But there is online rumblings that Jenny was actually the villain in Forrest Gump because of the way she treated Forrest. And this is Stephen asking her about it.
How do you feel about sort of the popular online argument that Jenny is the villain of Forrest Gump?
Okay.
You've heard this, right?
I just heard it in the green room.
Never heard that before? Have you seen Forrest Gump?
But think about it.
Yeah?
I would not like to use that character as a reference for Jenny. But think about how she treated Forrest.
Not great.
So she's not denying it. Mm-hmm. So she pops in and out of his life whenever it's convenient for her. She doesn't commit to him until she finds out she has an incurable disease. Oh, and she brings along their son, whom she never bothered to tell him about.
Yeah. Yeah, she used him all those years.
Yes, uh-huh. She did. So I found some list online, specifically from Ranker, of these characters that we've always looked up to and we think are protagonists, but people are like, they're actually the villain. Now brace yourself for this next one.
Okay, because these are always the most fun for me, movies, is like, you're not really sure who you're supposed to be rooting for and who you're supposed to be rooting against.
Oh, no. And these are very much like, we always thought they were the heroes, they were the protagonists, but now we're starting to break down their flaws and realizing they pulled one over us. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wait, what?
Mrs. Doubtfire is the villain. So Mrs. Doubtfire, played by Robin Williams, and was like spectacular, right? Follows a father as he pursues a harebrained scheme to spend time with his children following an acrimonious divorce. Disguising himself as an elderly woman in order to be hired as the kid's nanny, he weasels his way back into the household with results that are hilarious, but also somewhat troubling. The fact that he resorts to deception to be closer to his kids on its own, forgivable maybe for some, but the scenario changes when he begins undermining his ex-wife's relationship with her new boyfriend and even goes as far as to contaminate his food with a pepper he is extremely allergic to. The film never feels like it's depicting something sinister, but the character's actions are difficult to condone when truly considered.
Is Carrie Bradshaw on this list?
It's only movies.
Oh,
okay.
Well, yeah. Carrie Bradshaw, yeah. She is the real villain.
I've heard that argument a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, preach, I hate Grandpa Joe.
Is this just because of the sleeping situation?
Well, oh my God, he's the worst.
What?
So Grandpa Joe has garnered such a bad reputation over the years that there's even a website called Say No to Grandpa Joe, exposing the truth.
Cassie's been waiting to argue about this for years.
Grandpa Joe is kind of selfish. He spends money on tobacco while the other seven members of his family are forced to eat cabbage soup every single day. Another solid argument for Grandpa Joe's villain is that he is nothing more than a slacker. He could have been working the 20 years that he spent in bed constantly criticizing his family, pretending to be sick. Oh, but then he gets a coveted golden ticket and all of a sudden Grandpa Joe can jump out of bed and he's spry.
That's a good point.
That is fair.
I feel like he doesn't even offer, like, he's like, I'll go with you, Charlie. Doesn't let dad go. That would be a great dad-son bonding
moment.
Right? But he's got to be Grandpa Joe. Couldn't get out of bed ever and ate the cabbage soup. I hate Grandpa Joe so much.
All right. You think he's a protagonist, but he's actually the villain. Maverick in Top Gun.
What? How is that possible?
Yeah, I see it.
Navy pilot Maverick, played by Tom Cruise, doesn't listen to authority, even though he's in the actual military. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of exactly what you're trained to do.
But that's that was his character. He's a rebel.
Iceman Val Kilmer tells him the enemy's dangerous, but right now you're worse. Dangerous and foolish. And he is. Maverick is very unsafe when he flies. He wrangles with his father issues and can't control his anger. Maverick's ego is for real, writing checks that his body can't cash. At some point, either Maverick has to grow up and act like an adult, or he's going to continue to put himself and his co-pilots in danger, not to mention risking billions of tax dollars and material and resources.
That one doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I see it. You put it that way. Yeah. I can see it.
All right, next. Tony Stark and Iron Man. He's not a hero. Hmm. He's actually the villain. Now, one can make a claim that the philanthropist turned vigilante hero can be perceived as villainous. When we first meet Robert Downey's Tony Stark in 2008, he is a selfish and extremely rich. He gets himself into hot water with a group of really bad guys. He witnesses the mass destruction that his creations cause and opts to close his department in Stark Industries. Rub is that the U.S. military receives most of their arm resources from Stark, everything from armors to tank. So when Stark stops his supply, the U.S. defense is greatly compromised. His short-sightedness, ego, and singular thought put the country in extreme danger.
It's hard to argue any of those.
It really is. When you dissect them and you really look at it, you can't tell good from bad anymore.
I know, yeah.
The Burt Show.